It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mast.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mast.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Give us as much as you can as far as the framework of the time here. When do we need to have something done in order to salvage what it is they're talking about?
3 weeks ago.
Fourth and final hour, Agenda Free Friday. Not much is making me laugh these days or this week. But that one did. Again, that response by Buster Olney. Just the absolute disdain in his voice. The resentment.
3 weeks ago.
The disgrace, the shame of it all in Major League Baseball. Buster Olney asked about the timeline and when things had to finally get in gear for things to happen. His reply?
3 weeks ago.
That makes me laugh. And I just thought it was a good way to start this hour and bring in our buddy Tom from Quincy, who is a big baseball fan, big Red Sox fan. Tom, what do you got?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I officially will say this is my first time calling about the MLB draft. But I was interested to see Bloom's first pick, okay? And I got to be honest, I don't know much about this Nick York kid. However, he was ranked at 139, and they took him at 17.
Correct.
Okay? That's a little bit of an overshoot from a person like me just watching, okay? And then I heard the first thing that followed the pick was, well, he agreed to, a contract well under what that slot is available for.
That's right.
So the spot, okay, so, and that got me thinking, like, is this what we're going to do now with him? Is this just going to be, I mean, we already knew it was Nerd Central over there. But this is very, like, Tampa Bay-esque, where they're taking a shot at a kid they could have gotten the third or fourth round. They tell the kid, hey, we'll take in the first round, but I know you could make 3.5, but we're going to give you, I don't know, 1.3. And he goes, wow, well, beautiful. Because if you pick me at the third, if the number one pick in the third round, they're slotted for, like, 890. So, of course, he's going to say, yeah, I'll sign. Are they doing this already to shave money? Like, because that's going to aggravate the ever-living hell out of me if this is what I have to look forward to. Every time Bloom is in some sort of negotiation, it's going to drive me effing nuts.
All right, so Tom, before I let you go, because I want to get to Matt McCarthy. I know he feels strongly about this as well. But before I let you go, let me ask you a question. What if the kid can play?
If he can play, fantastic, Tony. But
okay, no, and I that's all. And I just wanted to make sure that you felt that way. That's all. I just wanted to make sure you felt that way. Because at the end of the day, to me, that's what it's all about. Now, look, I think your point about the money is a good one. And I know Matt McCarthy feels the same way, Matt.
Yeah, so listen, I think we should preface this by saying that the MLB draft is really weird, right? And it's funky. And this happens a lot. You take a guy early on because he's cheaper, so you can get a more expensive high school player later on, which is what they did with this Blaze Jordan guy in the third round. So, like, let's just understand that. Let's not, you know, look at one particular pick here. My problem is, Tony, is that this is now a trend. They did literally the exact same thing last year with their first pick and a guy named Cameron Cannon. They did the exact same thing. They took him there because they could get him below slot, because they want to save money, or they're in a position where they don't have a lot of money to spend on the draft because, you know, they've been run horribly over the last 3 or 4 years when it comes to stuff like this. It's all about the trend. They are trending closer and closer to the Boston Devil Rays than they are to the Boston Red Sox. Every single decision this franchise has made going back to last year's draft, hell, going back to the end of 2018 when they won the World Series, every decision they have made since then has been solely based on the financial implications of it. It's not one draft pick. It's not two draft picks. It's not one draft or two drafts or anything. It's the common trend. Every single thing John Henry and the Boston Red Sox are doing right now, it does not have to do with baseball. It has to do with money, and it has to do with the financial implications of it. That's why I'm disgusted by it. Like, we can sit here and joke about...
Okay, right. Matt, before you go on, let's say that that is true, that Chaim Bloom took this kid because they had concerns about their ability to sign all their picks.
Right.
Okay? Which, again, I don't know if it's true or not, because they lowered, you know, they certainly trimmed the baseball draft this year down to 5 rounds.
Right, every and they had lost a second round pick, so they didn't have as much money to spend. I get that. Go ahead.
And every player from here on out is, but let's say that it is because of money, okay? Which, again, I'm concerned about that, too. Whose fault is it?
It's John Henry.
Why is it John Henry's fault? Why isn't it Dave Dombrowski's fault?
Oh, Dave Dombrowski's a huge part of it, but it starts at the top. It absolutely starts at the top with John Henry. Now, Dave Dombrowski, I mean, the Red Sox are still paying for the stuff that Dave Dombrowski and the mess that he left them. Let's just run through this real quick. Dave Dombrowski oversaw international penalties. The Red Sox got whacked on international signings because they were overstepping the rules. He oversaw not one, but two cheating scandals in 2017 and in 2018. Luxury tax penalties that have limited them in the draft. He has left them in complete ruin when it comes to stuff like this. So I don't blame Chaim Bloom for the operation he has to run. It starts at the top. I mean, this started years ago.
So that is my only point, that it's really not about Bloom, right? This is why they brought Bloom in,
right?
Because they wanted him to get more out of less, because they had overspent and they hadn't developed players. They really pinned themselves into the worst of all scenarios. Just out of curiosity, because Tom and Quincy said it, that they took a player at what
17.
Number pick did they have? 17?
17. Yeah.
Okay, they took a player at 17 that was ranked 139, Murray. Okay, they took a player at number 17 who was ranked 139. If Bill Belichick had done that, Murray, what would the reaction be?
Oh, Bill is smarter than everybody else. He saw something on the tape. Doesn't matter if he went to a Division 7Z school or something like that. Bill got the right guy.
I mean, absolutely. And so at the end of the day, and look, Matt McCarthy, earlier today, you referred to it as a Tavon Wilson pick.
Yeah, second base Tavon Wilson.
Okay, and so that pick at the time I thought was preposterous. And if this guy turns out to be Tavon Wilson, then, the Red Sox are really going to look bad. And there's no question, they need talent in that minor league operation more than they need money. So they got to get players in there. And I would say you always spend on young players, always, 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 particularly if they're good ones, because they'll end up being worth it. The return on investment there for minor league talent is always good. So, you know, to me, I don't love the idea of it either. If the kid can play, though, we're going to look at Bloom totally differently. And we're going to say, well, that was a pretty shrewd pick. I mean, he saw a guy in round 3 or 4 that that was projected as round 3 or 4 and said, the system is undervaluing this guy. We don't have a second round pick. And so if we're going to get him, we got to take him at 17 because we might not have another crack after that. And if he's right, it's the kind of pick that I think could really, really lead you to have faith in the general manager. Carl in Wolfboro. Go ahead, Carl.
Hey, how you doing, Tony?
Good.
Hey, you guys mentioned something the other day. You know, Major League Baseball really screwed up without coming out on the 4th of July. I think that would have been a great opportunity, you know, for the fans and for the country.
They blew it, Carl.
It just really upset. I think that would have been great, you know, like you guys said. You know, and someone mentioned up to a couple of weeks ago, come back with a prorated salary, upside the revenue if you have any fans that happen to come back, and play more than they usually do.
Carl, I'm going to let you go. They blew it. McCarthy, you think they already blew it?
Oh, God, yes. Of course they absolutely blew it. I mean, baseball is so positioned to be the first of the four major sports back. I mean, the sport is designed for social distancing. 90% of baseball, you're not anywhere near anybody, okay? So the fact that baseball isn't the first sport back after golf, of course, is absolutely preposterous because they picked this time to have the labor fight that's been brewing for years. It's just gross. Every baseball fan in the country should be disgusted by this.
I'll tell you what, the back and forth between the owners and players, and I did the math. The owners have been criticized a great deal here for basically making the same offer and putting it in different wrapping paper. Mm-hmm. So again, I'll spare you the percentages, and I haven't even seen this on Twitter yet, but today's offer was a 72-game schedule at 70% prorated pay, okay? If you base 70% prorated pay on a 72-game schedule, you know what you get?
I didn't get into radio to do math, Maz, but it's not good. I'll tell you that.
You get 50% of salaries again.
Yep.
It's the same number over and over and over again. It is just packaged differently. The owners are throwing in some bonuses maybe that might make it a little bit more appealing. But I said this over a week ago that it feels to me like owners have settled on a dollar figure for what they want to pay players in 2020. And again, I've called it $1.5 billion. And I think that they then put together these packages that change the percentages and the games and everything else. But the ultimate point is that the amount of money they're going to give the players stays the same. And it's at $1.5 million. And if you want to blast the owners for this particular part of it, I have a hard time defending them. Jim is in Franklin on the play of Tom Brady last year. Go ahead, Jim.
I was wondering what your thoughts were on the fact that Brady threw a lot of balls away, and now we're going to have Stidham in here, who everybody's hyping up how pinpoint accurate he is. Is he going to be throwing that ball into covered receivers, and are the interception rate going to go up for the Patriots this year?
So, Jim, this is a good point, and this is really the number one thing to me that you got to watch with Jarrett Stidham. That when we've discussed Brady, we have said, well, how many games did Brady really win for them last year? This is Felger's point all the time. If you look at the quarterback play, how many games did Brady really win by himself? How many they could they have won with just an average quarterback? And in the same breath, anyone who knows what Brady's greatest value was here, anyone who understands the game, looks and says, well, yeah, Brady maybe didn't win any games for him, but he didn't lose any either. And so the question is, can Stidham go out there and play mistake-free and not cost them games? Can Brian Hoyer go out there and play mistake-free and not cost them games? And I think that that's a big question. Murray, for one, I know, thinks that Hoyer absolutely sucks.
Yes, that's true.
Actually, he knows, because that's a fact, Maz.
I mean, Hoyer is a turnover waiting to happen. Now, Stidham, we don't know, but based on his, three, four passes or whatever it was last year, the results weren't good. So now the second year around, let's see how it shakes out. But to me, that's the number one thing. You got to get mistake-free play. I can live with incompletions. I can live with a lack of a potency in terms of production. But what we can't live with at all is mistakes. And if there are mistakes, the Patriots are they're porked. Okay? They're porked. 617-779-0985. We'll continue with your calls and play for you when we come back what I thought was the most, the one piece of sound that I heard this week that made me most optimistic. How about that? We'll do that when we come back.
Duggar Maz. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
You can listen to Felger and Mass on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yeah, I thought it was very interesting to sort of get the read on this, and it's something I think we've all talked about, you know, since Brady left. You know, Julian, you've seen all the memes on Twitter, you know, poor Julian looking longingly at Tampa and Brady and Gronk, and, you know, I'm getting the sense that it's obviously he misses his guys, but this is just the opposite that, oh, you know, we've been hearing now since the moment Brady walked out the door that we're not any good. And now Julian's taking it to the, well, I guess I wasn't any good either. You know, I mean, 100 catches last year playing with, you know, on one leg and with one arm for various points of the season. I guess I wasn't good either. So I think there's clear motivation, not just with him. I think with a lot of guys that are saying, hey, we're a little bit better than you give us credit for. We're not going to just collapse because Tom Brady's not the quarterback.
That was Mike Giardi, the NFL Network, from his appearance with us earlier in the week, talking about, and this all started because Giardi sent out a tweet that, you know, with a comment from an anonymous Patriots player saying that, for lack of a better term, Edelman is on a mission, that he's motivated to prove people wrong in the wake of Tom Brady's departure. And, you know, I think a lot of us saw this and our eyebrows immediately were raised, myself included, because I thought this was a really positive sign. When Brady left, you remember the initial reports, Murray, or the initial sentiment, the initial reaction is what I should say, was, okay, well, Brady's gone. There are other guys leaving the team. And then not long after Gronkowski left, and I say left, was traded to Tampa Bay. And all of a sudden, it's sort of like, well, Edelman's here by himself. There were even rumors at the time that Julian Edelman could be traded. You know, we discussed on the program, would you send him to Tampa if the Buccaneers wanted him? What would you do? You know, to hook him up with Brady again. And I think there was this sentiment or this sense that, boy, Edelman might really go south here. And I, for one, wondered whether he was done anyway. I mean, to me, this was as big a coming into the season or coming into the offseason. I thought this was as big a topic. That's not fair. I thought this was as worthy a topic of discussion or close to it as how much Brady had left in the tank, because I'm not sure Edelman has all that much left. And then we hear that, no, he is motivated. He wants to prove people wrong. He doesn't want to go play with Brady. He would rather prove that he's good without Brady, which to me is a huge piece of good news for the Patriots, because there may not be a more important player on that offense this year than Julian Edelman, Murray.
Yeah, given what he's achieved and how big of a role he's played, especially in the postseason, I mean, he's got to be the safety valve, if nothing else, for Jarrett Stidham, because I refuse to acknowledge that Brian Hoyer is going to be the quarterback or could be. So if it's Stidham, you know, he's going to need a guy that he can rely on, you know, like how Brady would often rely on him. And you're going back how Bledsoe used to be with Ben Coates. A young quarterback needs a guy like that, and if anyone's going to do it in that offense, it's got to be Edelman.
I mean, the slot guy has been the bread and butter of the Patriots offense really for how many years now? What are we going back
15
to?
15
go
at least,
way,
really.
Yeah, right. We go back to Wes Welker. It's 15 years, really, with Brady even. You know, it's probably more than that. But that slot guy is a huge, huge part of what they do. And Edelman has been absolutely terrific at it at his peak. My only concern with Edelman is how much he has left in the tank. He's 34 years old. Welker was effectively cooked by this point. You know, Troy Brown, who's a little bit different, but nonetheless, Troy Brown made it to 36, but at the end, you know, again, wasn't, you know, wasn't the same player in the last couple of years when he still had some productivity as he was at the peak of it. And I, you know, as much as the offense needs Edelman, I think Stidham needs Edelman. And I think that that is he is just a huge, huge guy. And, you know, Matt McCarthy, I don't know if you agree, but Edelman, again, could be the most important guy in that offense.
I think he's the most important player on the offense for the reasons that Jim just laid out. I mean, he's a safety valve for a young quarterback, a guy that he can trust in an offense with really a bunch of crappy weapons. Like, I know he had a, you know, great rapport with Jacoby Myers against the future pizza delivery drivers of America in the preseason last year, but you saw Jacoby Myers out there against real NFL talent, and it turns out, no, he's just a guy. So to have a legitimate NFL weapon in a guy like Julian Edelman, who's been one of the best wide receivers in the league for going on however many years now, that's important. That's critical. I think he's the most important player on this offense, you know, even considering, you know, when we're talking about potentially a young quarterback, just because of what he means for that young quarterback.
I mean, he is the most accomplished player on the offense. Now, James White also has 3 Super Bowl rings. Edelman has 3, but I think we all would agree Edelman plays more snaps than James White. James White's largely a third down back. And even in years where White played a lot of snaps, the number was up around 50%. Edelman is out there for the large majority of time. He's a good blocker. He can run with the ball. I mean, they don't use him on special teams anymore, Murray, nor should they. But Edelman is the most accomplished member on that offense. And I think we can say, look, the last time Edelman played in the Super Bowl is the MVP. So I just think there is great value there and a great opportunity for Julian Edelman to really reinforce his legacy. And again, not that I don't want to make it a legacy discussion, but I think the perspective on Edelman could completely change. Murray, I don't know how you feel about Edelman in the Hall of Fame. Other people have raised this. I don't think Edelman's a Hall of Famer, but if he were to go out and be productive with Jarrett Stidham and have a good year, does he have a case?
Maybe. You know, McCarthy brought this up last week. It can only help. But if you look at that position as a whole anyway, it seems like that's one of the tougher ones to get in as a wide receiver in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I mean, there's guys that you feel like if you just look at their stats, I'm like, well, why wouldn't he be in? Like someone like Sterling Sharp. Like Sterling Sharp in the 90s was one of my favorites, kind of had an injury-shortened career. But to me, like, quick yes or no, I think Sterling Sharp's a Hall of Famer, but he's not. So Edelman, given the postseason success, I get why you would make a case, but ultimately, I don't think he'll get in. I want to see him go back and have a good season next year, Maz, because he would be the anomaly. If you look at someone like Wes Welker, or even go back to the late 90s and someone like Wayne Krabet, who I used to love with the Jets, right around you get to 32, 33, these guys drop off a cliff because they've taken such a beating over their career, going over the middle, taking the hits that they have. It's just bang, it's gone just like that. And Edelman he's probably already bucked the trend. I mean, statistically, he had a good season last year for the most part. But if he comes back now at 34 after having a down year for him, well, no one's really ever done that.
And if he does it without Brady, sorry, Maz, if he does it without Brady, that's a huge boost to his legacy. I'm with you, Murray. Sorry, Maz.
Yeah. And Matt, you say you were the one, I got it mixed up. You were the one who said you thought it would make Edelman a Hall of Famer.
Listen, I think he's a borderline guy right now. And, you know, to Murray's point, you know, that position really hasn't been treated, I think, fairly by the Hall of Fame. You know, maybe 5-10 years from now, we're talking about it differently because it's become such a huge position, you know, in the world of football and in NFL offenses. So this would only help Edelman's case. You know, if he has a good year or two without Tom Brady playing into his mid-30s, all of a sudden you look at it, it's like, okay, well, Brady didn't make him, which fairly or unfairly is, you know, going to be stuck with him the same way with, you know, just about every single other, you know, receiver that the Patriots have had. You know, there's that Tom Brady element. So if he plays well the next 2 years with Jarrett Stidham, okay, well, it's not Brady. He's one of the great postseason receivers in the history of the NFL. He's got a Super Bowl MVP. He was one of the great slot guys of his era, and he's more than a slot guy, but work with me on this. I think that can only help boost his case, and I think that's one of the reasons why he's so motivated. I think he understands that he's going to get far more respect, you know, however you want to call it, nationally in regards to Hall of Fame voting, whatever, if he has a good year or two without Tom Brady. I think he recognizes that, and that's why I think he could be in for a big season.
I'll tell you what, Murray, you mentioned the age. Edelman is 34 now. 34. And if we remember right, when things ended with Welker at the end,
I think he was 32.
Welker was 31 when he played his final year with the Patriots.
Boy, that was an old 31, though.
Okay,
that was a hard 31.
Well, and so that's really it, right? So it's about the number of catches, the number of hits, and maybe even more than that, maybe the number of targets. In his final season with the Patriots, Wes Welker was targeted 174 times. 174 times. The Patriots then cut bait. He went to Denver the next year, and he was targeted 111. His first year with Denver, he made 73 catches. His final year with the Patriots, he made 118. Then he went to Denver and made 73. From there, he went to 49 and then to 13 catches in 2015. Do you know who he played for that year?
Yeah, the Rams.
It was the Rams,
very
right?
good, Murray. I didn't even remember that. He was with the Rams at the end, and that he was age 34 then, and he was done.
But that second season in Denver, he was done.
He was cooked.
He was. It's a good point. He had 49 catches that year and 464 yards. He was a shell of himself that year. He was cooked. And so Edelman is 34 now. Now, the one thing Edelman has going in his favor that Welker did not have is that early in his career, he didn't get nearly the same wear and tear, at least not in the passing game. Edelman was mostly a special teamer and didn't really become a full-time receiver until later in his career. And I think I mentioned this to you the other day, Murray, that, you know, McCarthy obviously wasn't there. The Welker in his career was targeted, let me just get this right, was targeted almost 1,300 times, okay? 1,275 in terms of targets for his career for Wes Welker. Julian Edelman in his career right now is at 902. So he's almost 400 targets lower than where Welker was at that point in time. Okay, now, interestingly enough, 900 targets is roughly where Belichick cut bait with Welker. Okay, Welker had, you know, one pretty good year left in him after that. So maybe Bill sees it on the horizon with Edelman. You know, we've certainly seen more drops in recent years. Edelman was really beat up at the end of last season, and we saw a huge drop in the playoff game against Tennessee. But Bill clearly thinks there's something there because, again, we know that Bill will trade guys a year too early versus a year too late. We know if Bill believes guys have mentally checked out, he'll get rid of them. He was ready to get rid of Gronk a couple of years ago, and the trade got undermined, probably on multiple levels. And so in this case, he elected to keep Julian Edelman. And I think that tells you a lot about, A, what the Patriots' need is for him, but also what Belichick thinks of Edelman's ability to fight through the loss of Brady. Certainly when Jimmy Garoppolo played in 2016, Edelman was productive, and whatever loyalty he had toward Brady, he was able to overcome at that time. And I think this is all, these are all good signs for the Patriots, assuming Edelman has something left in the tank. I do wonder if Belichick stretched a little with Edelman because he needs him, and he said, I'm not going to let this guy go. I think there's a little more there, and he may not be the same player anymore, but I still think he can help us. I do wonder about that. In any case, Matt McCarthy will get you caught up on headlines, and then we will relive here in our next segment what I personally happen to believe was the biggest and most positive development in Boston sports this week. We'll do that when we come back.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Colin Cowherd of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Mazz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Mazz.
You guys do a great show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Mazz. I'm on the part three here at Red Tail. I don't know if you can see the pin up there. 161 yards. I grabbed a 7-iron. It's a little uphill in the hole. I'm not kidding you. Hole in one. First one ever. Suck on that, bitches.
Right in your eyeball. Right in your eyeball, to quote Adam Jones. Suck on that. How's your race? How's your race? highlight of my week. Highlight of my life, Murray. Highlight of my wife, life, if you ask me.
And then you shot the ball into the woods. That's the that to me is inexcusable. You take
immaterial,
the ball.
Murray. Immaterial. Four holes later, I get to the 17, forgot that I'd take the ball out of play, and I blasted one into the woods. You know what? At that point, it didn't care. I could have had you with me, Murray. I wouldn't have been as high as I was on the 17 by that stage. Holy crap. Hole in one. Right in your eyeball. Ha! Suck on that, especially if you don't have one. Oh, highlight of my week. McCarthy, did you hear?
Oh, I heard. Oh, everybody heard, Maz. I don't think there's a person on this earth who hasn't heard that you had a hole-in-one.
So, McCarthy, are you a golfer?
I'm a big golfer. I'm addicted. I'm no good, but I've been playing. I can't tell you how much I've played this year. A lot, let me tell you that.
So this is one of those, okay, it's like one of those, I've been playing for, you know, since I was in my late teens. I started playing when I was about 18 or 19. So I've been playing for over 30 years, and it's one of those things where you're like, it's never going to happen. And even the ones that you hit that when they're in the air, you think they have a chance, and then they always miss. So they hit the ground, and you think it's going to roll away. That's it. Never going to happen. Never going to roll in the hole. The other day, again, it was on the third hole at Red Tail, 161 yards, playing slightly uphill. I hit a 7-iron. Landed, took a bounce, checked up, and then it disappeared. And I went, ooh. Like, we all saw it, went, ooh. And there were some groundskeepers around the green that heard us talking about, you know, they heard a little rumble. And they said, well, what the hell was that? And they went up and looked, and it was in the freaking jar, Murray. It was in the jar for a one on the scorecard. How about that? Suck on that. Suck on it.
I just don't understand why you didn't keep the ball. You put it in your pocket, you hold on to it, you have the thing framed. So it
seems inexcusable.
Yeah.
Murray, I was so geeked up at that point, I didn't remember to keep the ball. That's what it was, if you want to know the truth.
Fair
enough. In all seriousness. And I ask you, I three-putted. I went back and counted because I keep track of this sort of nonsense. I three-putted six times on this day. Six times. I shot an 87. I should have shot in the low 80s. Okay, six times I three-putted, and I came to the conclusion because it's impossible to putt with an erection that lasts for 15 holes. Okay, that's the reality of it. So I just had to share that again with the people here in Boston. It was, to me, absolutely the highlight of the week in Boston sports.
Can I rain on your parade just slightly, Maz?
Yeah,
I had two friends text me. They said, Maz needed to take out a 7-iron 161, huh?
Yeah.
I had some friends shaking my head. Shaking their heads at that.
Well, big deal. What? Because they hit the ball farther? They probably suck.
Just saying.
Yeah, I love these guys who say, oh, you hit a 7-iron, 161. Yeah, I did. It went in the hole. I got a one. Go pound sand. Seriously, go play with yourself for all I care. Kevin's in Brockton. Kevin, what do you got?
Yes, how you doing? I got a quick question about the baseball negotiations. Just say an agent negotiates a contract for $20 million and they go down and just say they make 5%. That's like $1 million. And then they go down the $3 million salary. Does a player have to pay that $1 million or do they have to pay that $150,000?
Yeah, so good question, Kevin. You pay the percentage on what you earn. You pay the percentage on what you earn. So in a case like this, the agent doesn't still get his money. He only gets the call it the 5% of what the player earns. Tim is in Nashua. Tim, go ahead.
Tony, I feel Brady should have won. Well, I mean, he should have done a lot better as far as advancing to the Super Bowl this year. And I didn't think he achieved much. But do you think Belichick made a huge mistake by not getting Lamar Jackson?
So, Tim, two questions there, right? So let's start with the first one. Basically, what you're saying is you think the Patriots underachieved during the 2019 season. Murray, is that fair or unfair?
No, the whole team underachieved.
McCarthy?
Yeah, I'd say they underachieved. They started out 8-0, and they basically collapsed and lost in the first round. Yes, they underachieved.
So I'll tell you what the big one is for me on underachieving. They were in a position going into Week 17 where all they had to do was beat Miami at home, and they had a bye, and they gagged. And so had that happened, they'd have been, you know, one game from the AFC Championship. Now, look, as it turned out, they played Tennessee in the divisional or the wild card weekend, and they couldn't win that game. So, but things would have been completely different, I think, had they been able to beat Miami. So at the end of the day, do I think they underachieved? Yes, because I think even with the problems that they had, it's not asking too much for them to beat Miami at home in Week 17 with a bye at stake, up by four, with 3.5 minutes to go, and the other team having to score a touchdown for you to lose the game. Not a field goal to tie and force overtime, a touchdown, and allegedly you have one of the best defenses in the league. So I think Murray's right to say the team underachieved because certainly they were in a position to win that game and their defense blew it at the end. It wasn't solely about Brady. But, you know, were they going to win the Super Bowl? Probably not. They weren't as good as those other teams. I think we can say definitely not. But they should have been in the divisional round after a bye based on where they were going into Week 17, and they absolutely threw up on themselves. As for Lamar Jackson, whether or not they made a mistake – Murray, do you hold them accountable on Lamar Jackson? Do you feel they blew that?
No, I don't. Even if he ends up winning multiple Super Bowls, because at that time, it's just revisionist history to feel like that, because they weren't really looking for a quarterback at that point, even though that they worked him out, or Josh McDaniels did, and there might have been some mild interest, but in regard to Belichick, he wasn't looking to pick him.
McCarthy?
I was hashtag F the future, so I'll stand by that. I wanted them to build around Brady at that time while you still had Tom Brady, and investing in the quarterback position wouldn't have made any sense. So, no, that's not one I'm going to hold against them. I'm going to hold it, you know, against them drafting Sony Michel when, you know, Nick Chubb is there, and Nick Chubb's been a better player, and, you know, we can, you know, revisit any of that if we want, but I'm not going to hold it against them for not taking a quarterback in that spot.
So the thing I wonder about is, did McDaniels want him? Because McDaniels certainly met with Jackson. Brady touted Jackson on Instagram. Now, maybe that was an Under Armour thing, but I do because they were both clients of Under Armour. And so it's possible that Brady was doing Under Armour a solid there. Maybe he was doing McDaniels a solid there. But McDaniels certainly seemed to have interest in Lamar Jackson. The one thing I do wonder, though, is if they had brought Lamar Jackson here, would they have done what Baltimore did, which is build your entire offense around his running ability? That's really what the Ravens did. Now, look, maybe that'll change as Jackson develops. Maybe he'll turn into a more of a passer. He certainly improved last year, although I thought he took a big step back in the postseason. But I'm not sure that Bill Belichick would have overhauled his operation and built it around Lamar Jackson, because he's a hard guy to replace if and when he goes down because of injury. Quickly, Andrew in Framingham. Andrew, what do you got?
Hey, Tony. Wanted to talk to you about your hole-in-one on Red Tail on Wednesday.
Go fast. So
I played Red Tail on Sunday, and when I played, they had these noodle devices sticking out of the cup where you didn't actually sink your ball in the cup. You just had to bounce it off the noodle. And if you got a hole-in-one, knocking it off one of those noodles, that's pretty questionable. It's a questionable claim, so I just wanted to check. Was it off the noodle, or did you put the ball in the hole?
No, so I'm glad you brought this up, because Murray, you know the noodle, the styrofoam that they put inside the hole?
Yeah.
Okay, it doesn't actually come out of the hole. At least it didn't the day that I played. And I've heard that courses that have played with a raised cup, mm-hmm. and that the cup is actually outside the hole, and the ball hits the cup and doesn't go in, and they say that's close enough. Because of COVID, they put these raised cups in. I don't know if you can see it in the photo they're showing on the simulcast. There was a styrofoam device at the bottom of the cup, but the ball went in the hole. The ball was not visible. It sank in the hole. Okay? So go after yourself. It was a legit hole-in-one. I'd be the first one to criticize it if it weren't. In fact, if it were some rinky-dink par three that was 90 yards, I don't think I could even take myself seriously. It was 161. The ball went in the jar. There was nothing fluky about it. You want to tell me I was lucky? Tell me I'm lucky. But it was a legit hole-in-one, so go screw. That's my answer to that guy. Final word is next, and I'm told, Jimmy, we have a squeaky mass coming up.
That is fact.
Okay, Squeaky Maz, final word. Don't go anywhere.
Felger and Maz.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires? There's only one place to go. Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Because nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Absolutely nope. You got that right. Nope. Nobody. It is the end of the week here, as we generally get a Mad Mike or a Squeaky Maz on Friday. We do have a Squeaky Maz. Maz got a little squeaky on baseball, from my understanding, this week.
All they have done in these offers is repackage it. Over and over again. Do you guys follow me? You can either play 76 games or play 50 games at a higher percentage of pay. But either way, the dollars are going to come out the same. Do you guys follow me?
Totally.
And it feels like the whole thing has been merely repackaged, which is enough to make you say, why are you wasting my time? Either come to a deal or not, you're wasting my effing time. That's what Major League Baseball's doing. They're wasting my time, they're wasting your time. Just wasting my effing time.
You can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it?
What?
It's still the same thing.
No, it's got to be your bull.
Good God.
Wow.
I mean, you can get a good look at a T-bone by sticking your head up a butcher's ass, but then... Here's the deal. If I want you...
You have derailed.
Shut up, Richard.
You guys good?
Totally. Yeah.
Forget it, I quit.
So I want to make sure you guys understand the, you know, what I was trying to get across there.
Oh, we understood. Yeah. We totally understood.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.